Hello, Matthew Jeske here with keystoaz.com. That's K-E-Y-S-T-O-A-Z.com. Your authority to everything on buying real estate in Southern Arizona. And today I have a special treat for you. I know some of you are really concerned about your credit score and a little scared to go out there and make that application for your home loan. I know, you know, it can really be stressful, especially when you don't know what to expect. So I've tracked down a real expert here for you. He's helped so many people just like you, and I think you'll really enjoy what he has to say. Hello, I'm here today with Ian Brannon of Nova Home Loans. He's a home finance expert. He's been in the industry for 10 years now. He's helped thousands of people with good credit, bad credit, all kinds of different circumstances, qualify for home loans and meet their goal of purchasing a home. So how are you today?
I'm great, man. It's good to be here.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, today we've got a few tips I want to go over that you kind of introduced me to help me with my clients and help answer some of their questions. I know a lot of people are, they're almost afraid of getting a home loan because of their credit.
Credit is a very sensitive subject for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It can be embarrassing. It can be an unknown and something that people just put off to the side and delay in looking into, which, more often than not is the first step in finding out if you can qualify for a house.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So many people I talk to, I say, well, yeah, the first step, you want to talk to a lender. And then they almost feel like if they talk to a lender and they're not qualified, that's a done deal. They can never buy a home, but that isn't really the case.
You're absolutely right. That's also a big misconception. You know, when someone speaks to a lender, and it also depends on which lender they speak to.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, people in our industry don't have a really good bedside manner when mm-hmm. it comes to bad credit. But in essence, just because someone's credit score is low doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily mean they can't buy eventually. It just means that there's some work that needs to be done up front that, mm-hmm. that they probably weren't aware of to begin with. So education is really the key in mm-hmm. in helping someone with, first, finding out what their credit score is, and secondly, getting some good information as to what they can do
mm-hmm.
to get their score up to where it needs to be so that they eventually can become a homeowner.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, my background's in engineering, so the credit score is like it measures a number of behaviors almost. And you can change your behavior pattern with your finances, do some very simple things most of the time to bring that around pretty methodically, I think.
Correct. Yeah, the scoring, the credit score, FICO, Fair mm-hmm. Isaac Company, they use a scoring model based on different habits that you have
mm-hmm.
for your credit. The biggest is going to be your most recent 2-year history of credit.
Mm-hmm.
So what's been going on in your credit life over the past 2 years? If you've had late payments in the past 2 years, well, changing your habit would be to make on-time payments.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have an end result of increasing your credit score.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you recently helped me with a client, and I know one thing, and this is one of the first tips I have on my list. She was really, really excited because she qualified for more pretty quickly by paying down one of her credit cards.
That's another item or habit, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, that that can affect your credit score and have a faster impact than most anything.
Mm-hmm.
Another heavy weight on credit score is the balance that you hold on your credit card
mm-hmm.
compared to the allowable limit. For instance, if you're allowed to have $1,000 on one credit card
mm-hmm.
and your balance is $999, well, that credit card's maxed out.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to pay that credit card down to under 30% of what the allowable limit is,
mm-hmm.
in this case, it would be about $300, what you would do is probably get yourself another 30 to 50 points on your credit score.
Oh, wow. And that's immediate, like almost as quickly as your credit card updates with FICO, or?
That's correct.
Okay.
We also have the ability to have a faster update if mm-hmm. need be, but we only use that tool when it's a matter of urgency, if someone's gotcha. Already in contract and we need their scores up fast.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a good practice for anyone to have that's mm-hmm. listening to this casting right now. Thinking about what their current credit card balances are compared mm-hmm. to their limits. It could also be just an easy phone call to your credit card company
mm-hmm.
asking them to increase your limit from 1,000 to 3,000.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you do that, if you call them and say, hey, I've had a good credit history with you,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to increase my score by changing the debt to available credit limit on my mm-hmm. on my credit card with you. Can you consider increasing my balance from 1,000 or my allowable limit from 1,000 mm-hmm. to 3,000, and you're back to that 30% mark without mm-hmm. having to pay down anything?
Yeah, one thing I find is interesting. So when it's like a debt to income ratio when you get a home, but when you have a credit card, it's a percentage of the maximum.
Correct. A lot of people get debt to income ratio mm-hmm. confused with credit.
Mm-hmm.
Debt to income ratio is a terminology used for qualifying someone
mm-hmm.
Based on their debts and their income to make sure that they can afford their debts on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
The credit report has nothing to do with income, surprisingly.
I see.
That's a mm-hmm. that's a huge misconception. A lot of people think that the credit reports have some type of indication or inclination of what your income is, and that's mm-hmm. simply not true. All the credit report does is determine how much you owe
mm-hmm.
compared to how much you're allowed to owe.
Okay.
And typically, historically,
mm-hmm.
People that have higher balances on their credit cards compared to what they're allowed to have
mm-hmm.
Will have a lower credit score based on that ratio,
mm-hmm.
not having anything to do with their income.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize it was like that. I kind of got the two mixed up. I thought, because when you go to buy a home, say you have $1,000 monthly income, you can only have a certain percentage of that go towards home financing.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's called a housing ratio.
Mm-hmm.
The bank wants to make sure that your mortgage payment is not does not exceed what a comfortable percentage of mm-hmm. your total household income is going to look like.
And your current debts, your current monthly payments, they factor into that bucket?
They right? factor into a separate. Your total debt to income ratio
uh-huh.
takes into consideration the subject property's mortgage payment.
Okay.
Plus all your other debts.
Okay.
So there's actually two ratios that we look at when offering someone financing. It's their, mm-hmm. their housing ratio,
mm-hmm.
which is just their mortgage payment, and also mm-hmm. their total debt to income ratio, which is their mortgage payment plus all their other debts.
Okay. Yeah, you can correct me if this is a poor analogy. A lot of clients ask about that when I'm showing homes. It's a real concern of theirs. How much of a payment can I qualify for? And how does that work? And I kind of explain it like a bucket. Like you have so much money in a bucket each month. And that's that bucket, you know, you can only pull out so much based off other payments you have. And you know what's remaining at the end for a house. I probably didn't say that quite right, but
I see where you're coming yeah. from, and that's a good way to explain it to someone in uh-huh. those terms. But
it's a little more complicated than that. Huh?
It can be, but you know, one thing that I discuss with people before they mm-hmm. even tell me what you know what price they're looking at,
mm-hmm.
I ask them what payment is comfortable for them.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, renters right now have a set payment that they're making already,
mm-hmm.
and if I can keep their mortgage payment similar to what they're paying in rent,
mm-hmm.
That's really setting yourself up for success to be a homeowner and to make your payments on time when you do become yeah. a homeowner. Because one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to do the opposite and say, you know, how, what is the max I can qualify for?
Yeah.
Anytime I'm asked that question, it's a very dangerous situation for the clients to put themselves in, because they're not taking into consideration what ifs that come up after you're a homeowner.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because when you're a renter and the plumbing line breaks in the middle of the night, you know, you call your landlord, and it's up to them to fix it. When you're a homeowner, that's not the case.
Yeah.
So you need some residual income.
You have more responsibilities as a homeowner.
Completely. Yeah. And those what ifs, you know, you need residual income or assets saved up in case something like that happens. So I really don't like the question, what is the maximum I can qualify for?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't account for any safety net for the homeowner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's absolutely true. It's a good point. What was the next thing I had on my list here? Okay, so one thing I think I've heard, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, sometimes if you have had, you know, a bad habit in the past of missing your credit card payment, you can close out some of those cards that you've missed payments on, and it can help clear that record.
It doesn't help clear that record per se.
Okay.
But if you've had a credit card with late payments on it, it's going to be a tarnished credit card on your credit history for a while. So what we found is more effective is paying off and closing that card so that it stops reporting altogether to the credit bureaus. It'll still show up on your credit report, but it's not showing as an active account. Active accounts are the ones that hold the most weight on your score.
Oh.
So if you close an active account that had late payments on it, it's no longer active. So it falls toward the bottom of the credit list.
Okay.
If you were to close that account, open a brand new credit card, and that one is scot-free of any late payments, well, you know, as I mentioned initially, the majority of the weight of the credit is on the most recent 2 years activity. So if you open a new card and let that card season and you make on-time payments, your credit's gonna be mostly affected with that new card rather than the old late payment.
Oh, gotcha. So this is probably where you want to talk to somebody who's a little more experienced with this sort of thing, you know, cleaning up your credit report. Because I think also the length of time you've held a card, as you were mentioning, helps factor in and made good payments on it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If someone has a credit card that they had for a long period of time, you know, it's better to have a long history of good credit than anything else. The credit scores that I see where people have 800 credit scores, which is almost perfect, you know, these people have had a credit card open for 10 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, they've had a mortgage for several years. They've had auto loans with no late payments on any of them. But the length of credit history is where I see people reaching the 800 mark.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. And I guess the part that kind of made me say you should probably speak with somebody who's more experienced is, at what point would you take a card that you've missed a few payments on, but you've held for a really long time, and close out the account?
It depends.
Yeah.
What you really need to do is find out how that late payment is affecting your score.
Okay.
Sometimes if it's an isolated incident, the credit score might only be affected by 10 points.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It might not affect it very much at all. Mm-hmm. And in that situation, there's no need to close the card or cancel it out. It's not adversely affecting your score in the great picture. But if someone has a history of several late payments on, you know, on either the same card or multiple cards, that's kind of when you make the decision, okay, let's start with a fresh slate here. Let's close those out, you know, pay them off, close them out, and start new.
And that might mean your credit score could take a little while to clear up or come back.
Correct.
To full health, because you got to rebuild that payment history.
You really do. And that's a good point. What I usually use as a model is when I see credit scores come in between 550 and 640.
Okay.
I usually tell people, okay, we're going to need about at least 6 months.
Uh-huh.
6 months is a good range of time to start new, get reestablished credit, and kind of go from there. If someone has sub 550 credit, we're probably looking at least a year.
Okay.
Because, you know, sub 550, there's recent late payments on there. There are maxed out credit cards and recent late payments on those credit cards that are not going to be a quick fix, which is not a bad thing. That person came to someone, came to a professional, got some good advice, and is working towards the ultimate goal of home ownership. It sometimes isn't a fast path, but, you know, you need to take that first step for that 1,000-mile journey. And that's really the thing, getting your credit pulled, finding out what's going on with it, and getting a game plan to make some habit changes, and moving forward to eventually getting your score up.
Yeah, and you can pull a free credit report. It's part of the, there's a law, I can't remember what the name of the law is for it, or the...
Yeah, the freecreditreport.com, you can pull your credit report once a year.
And that comes from three, was it TransUnion,
Equifax, and Experian.
Okay, but FICO, which lenders typically use, you have to pay that. Absolutely. And a person can pay for that if they want to, right?
Correct, yeah, you can pay for it on your own. Freecreditreport.com, I believe, has a link to Fair Isaac Company where you can pay for your own credit report. And it does give you the Fair Isaac scoring. One point I want to make is a lot of people come to me and say, well, you just pulled my credit, Ian, and it's at a 570. I pulled it on my own 2 weeks ago, and it's at a 640.
Yeah, I've heard this so many times.
and the reason behind that is when someone pulls their own credit report, it's a free credit report. They're not paying Fair Isaac Company or FICO. They're not paying them for a service. Well, I learned in my high school economics classes, there ain't no such thing as a free lunch.
There you go.
So ultimately, you get what you pay for. If you get a free credit report, the scoring model that's used is not the same scoring model that lenders use to approve you for financing. So in order to get an actual accurate FICO score, chances are you're going to need to pay for it or have a mortgage lender pull it themselves.
Well, one nice thing about the free credit report that you pull, and you probably want to do it once a year, every year.
Sure.
You can find mistakes, right?
Absolutely.
You could point those out and kind of some clerical problems, which I've heard can be more common than people
Absolutely.
Would expect.
One of the things that free credit report allows you to do is view everything. You don't necessarily get an accurate scoring, but if you view everything on the report and everything appears to be correct, that's mainly what you're getting for free, the free information that's showing up, and that's not a bad thing to have. Typically, I see a lot of medical collections on people's credit reports, and they're not aware of them. It's unfortunate that. You know, the medical industry, if your insurance doesn't cover a bill, your doctor doesn't call you typically.
Yeah.
If your insurance doesn't pay it, there's no, hey, heads up, hey, Matt, a friendly reminder call, your insurance didn't cover this. Can you cover it for me?
They send you
straight to collections.
Oh, wow.
So, I see a lot of medical bills that come up and people are unaware of them, where, you know, you could go to freecreditreport.com and download your information to see if there's any things like that might show up that you were unaware of.
Yeah. And, those are some excellent points. I didn't even think of some of those. I know that, you know, there's things people can do on their own very easily, like we're talking about here. But ultimately, some things are a little more complicated. Like, they probably need to sit down with somebody like yourself and discuss it, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, evaluating someone's credit, it's not the easiest thing to do for the common person. They can pull a free credit report and recognize you know, accounts that they've, they know that they've had in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But if they've had, you know, circumstances in their lives that, mm-hmm. Force them to miss payments,
mm-hmm.
and you know, people go through unforeseen circumstances all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That puts them in a poor credit rating category, but it not necessarily their fault. But yeah. But how do you fix that? Is the question, and the answer is speaking to a professional that knows how to evaluate someone's credit,
mm-hmm.
and provide professional advice on what to do to repair it. Here at Nova, we, you know, I as a loan officer would pull someone's credit, mm-hmm. and I have a pretty good sense of evaluating their credit report. But moreover, we have a credit counseling department. Well, I should say credit services department.
Mm-hmm.
What they do is they evaluate credit reports in depth and run scoring models to see what that person can do specifically,
mm-hmm.
To affect their credit score in the future.
Okay.
So that's one thing that I always encourage people to do, because after I pull their credit report and mm-hmm. refer them to our credit services department, they're teamed up with an account representative who specializes in credit and is assigned directly to their file.
Yeah.
So they can ask that person any professional questions or, you know, any question that pops in their head that, you know, is professional or you know, what they might think is you know, stupid question.
Yeah.
They can get answered right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of reasons a person, you know, shouldn't be scared to look at their credit. I think it's just one of those things that they really have to sit down and go after, you know?
Yeah, they absolutely do. The fear behind the credit is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think, you know, the quote, the only thing to fear is fear itself, because
mm-hmm.
If you have any fear of your credit,
mm-hmm.
well, chances are you already know something's up on
it. Yeah, that's true.
If you have no fear about your credit, or you have no idea what it looks like,
mm-hmm.
You know, the first step is finding out.
Yeah.
You can't get too far in finding out what you qualify for,
mm-hmm.
without taking the first step.
Yeah, I think that people almost have a bit of a weight on their shoulders, you know. It seems like today that there's more reasons than just home financing to pull the credit score, right?
Absolutely.
Sometimes if you go get a job, they'll pull your credit score. Even if you're renting,
yep.
they'll pull your credit score. I've heard some companies that require payments, like maybe, you know, like, I don't know if, I haven't had a utility company do it, but it, you know, I could almost see some of them pulling credit scores. And
yeah, a lot of the major cable and dish network, satellite TV mm-hmm. utilities, they'll pull your credit. I see a lot of those inquiries on people's credit mm-hmm. reports. You know, some, depending on the type of job
mm-hmm.
that you have, absolutely. In order to be a licensed loan officer, my credit was pulled.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So, you know, a lot of different fields for jobs need to mm-hmm. look at your credit. You know, if you're applying for college assistance for your kids.
Oh yeah.
Student loans, mm-hmm. you know. You know, your credit's very, very important to have in good standing.
Mm-hmm.
And even more important than having good credit, I would say, is understanding what the items are looked at
mm-hmm.
to develop good credit.
Yeah.
Because if you have an understanding of what needs to be done to have good credit,
mm-hmm.
chances are you're going to have good credit by default
mm-hmm.
because you have that understanding in the back of your head what the requirements are.
Yeah.
So that, you know, when you make those decisions in your life to pay on time or not to pay on time, to max out a car, mm-hmm. to not max it out, you know, I think a lot of those habits are going to be a default.
Yeah.
Based on your previous knowledge of what needs to happen to develop a good credit history.
Yeah, I recently heard somebody say, and I thought it was really interesting, what's measured is improved.
Yeah.
So if you're ignoring your credit score and you're concerned about it, that's probably not the best thing to do. You want to actually start looking at it and, you know, listening to some stuff here that we're talking about, and then starting to, you know, you'll start to improve it just by being aware of the factors, just like you're saying.
Absolutely. You can't ignore it. That's the bottom line. If you push it off, push it off, push it off, it's going to be an unresulted factor, and you'll never be able to increase your score or get financing.
Yeah.
If you ignore it, push it off, and just don't do anything about it.
Yeah, and I think the most difficult thing with a credit score that I've seen is just time, right? All the other things are simple mechanics. You cannot have a lot of money, and you could still clean up your credit score, I believe.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Time is the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you need to act sooner than later.
Yeah, now.
Because if you have a goal of home ownership by a certain date, and that date is sooner than how long it will take you to rebuild your credit or get the score you need, well, then you have an unrealistic timeline. But the key is acting now, sooner than later, because that goal of home ownership or good credit or what have you can be completely affected by time, and time is out of all of our control.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I think for people to take away from this all, you probably should check your credit score right now if you haven't, right?
Correct.
Another thing, some of the stuff we've discussed, I've placed on the internet. It's at keys2az.com /how-to-repair-your-credit. So you can go there and look at some of the things we've talked about, some simple little things you can do to patch up your credit or improve your credit, not patch it up, actually make it healthy again if it isn't, or continue keeping it healthy. And then as well, I know if somebody would like to get in touch with you, Ian, for some credit advice, how would they do that?
The best two ways to get in touch with me would be to call me directly.
Okay.
My direct phone number is area code 520-577-4761. Or they can always email me. My email address is Ian, that's I-A-N, at novahomeloans.com. That's N-O-V as in Victor, A-H-O-M-E-L-O-A-N-S.com.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks for chatting with me, Ian.
My pleasure, Matt. Great to be here.